Welcome back to Made in March. It is Wednesday, November 20th.
Yes, sir.
And it's been 5 days since we recorded, so it's been a while. But in that time, we have had some big news. We are finally up on Apple Podcasts. Been waiting a while for that one, so go make sure you check us out there. Anyways, let's get straight to it. James Wiseman news. Luke, you want to fill us in on that?
Yeah, before I do, though, remember, when you go to Apple Podcasts, make sure to subscribe, 5-star rating.
And leave a comment. We already have a comment from Gavin S455, so shout out Gavin for that nice comment. But yeah, just leave a rating, you know. I mean, we're just a startup, trying to make it big, so do what you can.
So in James Wiseman news, I'm not really sure how to feel about this. James Wiseman is ruled ineligible for the next 12 games.
He's already served one of them.
And once again, this is the number one recruit of this year's class, James Wiseman.
Yeah, so he has been ruled ineligible for 12 games, and he already served one, so the next 11 games. And then he can play again. So this is very big for implications on Memphis's tournament hopes, especially even if they're not doing so good in conference by the time he gets back, which is January 12th. Then they can still make a run in their conference tournament or rebuild their reputation. I mean, they're a pretty solid team without him anyway. Mm-hmm. But getting him back will give them that extra spark, could get them a good seed in the tournament.
I mean, I don't think James Wiseman being gone is going to prohibit Memphis from making the tournament. I feel like they have enough talent where they could make the tournament without him. But it's definitely going to impact their seeding.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that.
No question about it.
And not only will it impact their seeding, but it's going to impact how they are playing as a team going into the tournament, because they will have not had him for the whole season. Who knows if they'll be gelling as a team. I think this really puts a damper on Memphis's possible Final Four Elite Eight hopes.
Along with the 12-game suspension, didn't he got a fine? He received a fine?
Yes, he got fined $11,500, which was the sum of money that Penny Hardaway gave him when he moved to Memphis in high school or whatnot, and he's instructed that he has to donate the $11,500 to a charity of his choice. If you ask me, this is the most BS thing of all time, because the NCAA says, oh, you have to donate it, but that's just to make sure that they don't look like the bad guys. If he was gifted $11,500 to begin with, he obviously doesn't have that money, so how are you going to make him donate it?
And why is it James Wiseman's fault? Why is he the one getting penalized? Shouldn't Penny Hardaway be penalized as well for actually giving Wiseman the money? Wiseman might not have even, like, I'm sure he knew about it, but it's like, it was Penny Hardaway's decision, and he kind of just baited James Wiseman to come in.
I'm going to play devil's advocate to these two, but I think that this actually wasn't as bad as people might make it, especially since I foresaw that the NCAA would put a fine on him, or at least Penny Hardaway, which they didn't, but when they gave him that fine, I thought it was going to go to the NCAA, which I thought would have been bull, because I'm not a huge fan of the NCAA.
I don't know how many people are.
But I'd much rather have that fine go to something that actually matters than the NCAA and their corruption.
I mean, it's a good thing that it's going to a charity, but at the end of the day, like, really? Like, a little over $11,000? Like, I'm sorry, but the NCAA could donate that by literally just dropping it out of their pockets as they're walking down the street. Like, that's nothing to them. It's just, I feel like it's a PR move to make the NCAA look good, when in reality, I don't think they're all that, to be honest.
I am not a fan of PR stunts, and I don't necessarily know if this is a big PR stunt. Obviously, there's some PR that's tied into it, given the amount of hate the NCAA has gotten recently, especially with college football. Last year, when Iowa went home from the college basketball tournament too, Jordan Bohannon took the NCAA March Madness mat from the locker room with him and said he'd give it back once the NCAA started taking care of their players better and started paying them. So big statement by J-Bo there, and a lot of college athletes feel the same way. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were, let's say you're James Wiseman.
Yes, sir.
Would you rather have gotten suspended for 12, or I guess what's now 11 games since you already served one, and have to pay that fine, or would you rather have got suspended for the whole season?
I'd have rather gotten suspended for the games and then pay the fine, because I honestly think that James Wiseman has the money to pay the fine. I don't think that's that big of a problem. Mm. So
he will eventually when he goes into the NBA, but right now I don't know if he does.
But he is going to be a number one pick now.
Yeah. So so would he not, so you're saying
would you rather just give up your number one overall pick hopes?
Would he 100% be?
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe next year. I think he's eager to get into the NBA. I think Memphis is just a small destination for him and his career and what he's going to go on to do in the NBA. So I think that if I were him, I would rather have this, because that way, once it's January 12th, you can forget about all of it and you can just focus on playing instead of what was happening when he was playing. But he also had the focuses outside of the game, and it was probably messing with his head a little bit.
And at least for us, I mean, and for James Wiseman, I guess, he gets to play this year, and we get to watch him come tourney time. So it seems like a win-win, aside from the fine, which is a little bit low. At least me and Alex certainly think so. But, yeah, so we just thought we'd update you on that, because, once again, he was the number one recruit this year. He's a pretty big deal, the little I've seen from him.
All right, so let's move on to what we thought was the biggest game of this past weekend, which was Marquette going on the road against Wisconsin, the in-state rivalry game. And all three of us here, we forgot to say, Wesley is not in attendance today. He's busy doing some other stuff. But all three of us here, our predictions were wrong. We all predicted Marquette to win, and frankly, they got destroyed by Wisconsin.
Shouldn't have gone against the Big Ten.
Classic, classic, classic. You know, we really do have to hand it over to Wesley. You know, Wisconsin had looked like utter garbage for their first few games of the season, but got to hand it to Wisconsin. They looked like a whole new team. On Sunday.
It's not easy to win at the Kohl Center. I think we underrated the venue that they had to play in, that Marquette had to go on the road to play in. That the students at Madison go hard.
They do.
It's one of the great things in college basketball today.
Well, let me redact my statement from last week. I stated that Marquette's defense was new and improved after holding Purdue to 55 points. Man, was our defense awful. And Wisconsin was just shooting the lights out against us. They were wide open, and they didn't miss, frankly.
Player of the game, Brevin Pritzel.
Oh, my God.
Fun fact, he had 13 times the amount of boards that Theo John had.
So did That's he have insane. Did he have 13 boards?
Absolutely. He had 13 boards in the game.
I thought he had 14.
13.
13, 14, whatever. Like, 9 of them were offensive.
They were all offensive.
And this man
insane.
Is only, like, 6'3". That
you gotta
just
give
shows
him credit.
Marquette got absolutely outworked.
They got out-hustled.
They did not deserve to win this game whatsoever.
By no means. Marcus came out hot.
He came out sniping. It's like he ran into a wall and basically
he missed his last 12 shots.
Yeah. 6 for 12 at going into the first half and going into the second
half. Did anyone on Marquette even play good? I could not point out a player who played good.
I could.
Kane.
Greg Elliott.
How many points did he have?
9 of, like, 3 for 4 shooting
from
the floor.
All right, well, hand it over to Greg.
He's a role player.
What about Jamal Kane? I think that he's a solid player, and he had 8 points.
He's all right. He's still learning the dribbling aspect. He doesn't really know
we're talking about players who scored single-digit points as players of the game for Marquette. That tells you just about all you need to know about Marquette. Really off game for Marquette. And Wisconsin shot the lights out. Got to give it to him.
Yeah, so I guess Brevin Pritzel finally decided to actually shoot over 20% from 3 for once in his life. Like, once he sank that first 3, I was like, oh, this could be a problem for Marquette, because Brevin Pritzel gets it going. The 1 out of 45 games that he might do so, it might be tears.
Also, Kobe King had one of the nastiest crossovers I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
That cannot go untalked about. Who's Sakaran? He broke Sakaran's ankles like you would not believe. And he did the old James Harden where he waits 1 second, looks at him on the ground, and then shoots. And to his credit, he made the 3.
Yes.
Wisconsin's offense was, they weren't just getting scoring from one guy. Usually it's Brad Davidson, Nate Reavers, their leading scorers. All 5 of their starters, Brad Davidson, Aleem Ford, Kobe King, Nate Reavers, Demetri Trice, were in double figures. And Brevin Pritzel off the bench was in double figures.
It's a great game for Madison.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they shot 42.9% from the field, so I think that's credit to them. Marquette did not shoot so hot from the field. They shot 37%, so.
What did Marcus shoot? It could not have been good.
6 for 21.
Ooh, that's quite a few shots there.
Yep, that is not ideal.
Sometimes you have your off days.
All right, and then we will also take a look at the new AP poll that has just come out.
They come out every Monday, yep. Just a reminder.
And we do have a new number one. I think we all saw that one coming, yep. Right?
If Kentucky would have somehow retained the number one after losing to Evansville, I don't know what I would have said.
Yeah, I'm rooting for against Duke this entire week because I think it'll be cool to go if we could go on a streak with a new number one each week. I think that would be.
Well, unfortunately, Duke's not going to remain number one because they play Stephen F. Austin, I believe, on Saturday.
Oh boy, don't even get started. Charlie will rant about Stephen F. Austin until the sun rises.
Yes. One thing I wanted to add about the AP poll, I actually kind of thought Evansville was going to be ranked
because they're undefeated.
They received nine votes.
And then they basically
43
just proved to all the people why they shouldn't have received votes by losing by 2 points to who did they lose to on Monday or Tuesday? It was not a great team, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But they lost, so it shows that they really shouldn't be ranked.
I think they were projected to finish 7th in their conference.
Eighth.
Fluke win. Kentucky, they'll be back. They'll be contending for the national championship again.
But they are not the number one team right now,
yeah.
Which the number one team is...
Duke.
Shout out Luke. I mean, 1 year too early on Louisville. They are now up to number two in the country.
They are looking solid right now.
I'm going to joke this year. 1 year too early.
We have three ACC teams in the top five. Duke, Louisville, and North Carolina sneaking in at number five. Well,
that's the best conference this year.
It is the best conference.
We also have Maryland at six, who I think is the best team in the Big Ten right now. Maybe Michigan State at the end of the year.
Ohio State.
I still believe in Michigan State. So we have three different teams.
Anthony Cowan's looking really good. He's looking like Mello Trimble his senior year, but he can actually shoot the ball.
I don't think Mark Turgeon is a good coach.
That's fair. That's valid.
Virginia
coming in at number seven. Somehow they received one vote to be number one.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into a Virginia game in a little bit. I don't know how I feel about them this year.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett, obviously a great coach.
Tony. His full name is Anthony,
so.
Oregon, after their big win over Memphis, is only up to number 11. That's kind of surprising to me.
I mean, I feel like Oregon's being a little schlepped on.
I 100% agree.
But at the same time, I don't know who they would go in front of. Like Virginia?
Kentucky?
I'd put them in front of, what's Kentucky, nine?
Nine.
Gonzaga's eight at 4-0. Honestly,
Oregon's
you're not going to hear this from me, but I think Gonzaga should be higher right now. You won't hear that from me often.
Hey, did they end up losing to Texas A&M like you called? Or
no, they beat
did them they by beat them by 30 like I said?
By exactly 30 points. Yes. Ohio State at number 10, who's also undefeated. They're a solid team.
Wesley's not here to rant about them, but they are a very solid team.
Alex likes Ohio State out of the Big Ten this year.
I do.
And then we got Texas Tech at number 12, defending national champs. Feel like they could be getting slept on a little bit. They don't have Jarrett Culver anymore.
I haven't heard anything from them. I just see them and they're playing just like nobody schools.
Playing Texas Tech basketball.
They're playing TTU b-ball.
Yeah. Seton Hall at 13. Don't know exactly how I feel about that. Alex, would you vouch for Seton Hall?
Seton Hall is a very good team.
I believe 13 is perfect for Seton Hall.
They are the best team in the Big East.
They dropped one spot after their narrow loss to Michigan State. With a hobbled Miles Powell, I feel like that's a good ranking for them.
Arizona's number 14. I think Arizona's a good team.
Good.
I think that they will be ranked in the top 10 at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. So, I could very well see that happening.
They could even potentially sneak into a 2 seed. Potentially.
I feel like we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
That's what I foresee. And then a team Charlie will also rant about until the sun rises in the morning, Utah State at number 15.
Yes, Utah State. They had a rough season opener. Where they won by like 9 points against barely a D1 school, but they have been blowing people out, winning by 40. Justin Bean has looked like an absolute superstar. He went 8-12 from the field and then went on Friday, I actually think. But they're blowing people out. They are a team that I don't believe they're getting slept on because they're still ranked 15th, but watch out for Utah State.
A big jump this week was Wesley's another favorite team of his, Tennessee, U10. They looked very good against Washington.
They did.
We all told you in the last podcast, all of us said, watch out for this matchup.
I don't know how I feel about Washington. I think they might be pretenders.
I agree. They're not contenders, they're pretenders. But that's not to say the Pac-12...
is that not what I said?
Yeah, that's not to say the Pac-12 is not a... is not a pretending conference, because I think they got some good teams coming out of there. I think Colorado is a team that could make some noise.
Yes.
They just
beat, I don't know if Alex buys into Colorado.
They beat my
what
Toreros.
What are they ranked?
The 23. They beat my Toreros okay. by a lot of points.
Oh, they beat the Toreros. Big win for Colorado.
Yeah, but then
the Toreros are trash. They're 1-3.
But then they came back out and destroyed UC Irvine. Those are two quality mid-major wins.
For who?
For Colorado.
Oh, I agree with you. Colorado's good. I said the Toreros are trash of San Diego.
Well, they are 2-0, and they have beaten the Toreros and UC Irvine.
Staying on the Pac-12 topic, personally, I think Washington is going to finish on top of the Pac-12.
What?
In front of Oregon? I forgot Oregon.
He forgot
Oregon,
about
Peyton Washington. Pritchard. I think Washington will finish ahead of Arizona, Colorado. I just think they're the better team, more experienced.
The way I see it is going, I see
Arizona, Oregon, Colorado.
No, Oregon, Arizona, Colorado. Big jump, Washington.
Yeah,
who's going to finish ahead of them?
Other
Oregon
category.
State, Beavers, come on.
Other.
Stanford, they haven't been good in like 10
okay,
years.
The fourth U- is
USC, Bill Walton, Jay Billis, all the way down here, Washington.
USC does have a very good freshman this year, Isaiah Mobley.
Man, I cannot remember the last time USC had a solid hoops team.
I can. That's when did they that's when they
had
were
the like
playing
a nines. They, no, they a were, playing they were game playing at 11. They beat SMU and who was a 6 seed.
And then
you're right, I do remember.
Didn't Loy was that?
Nope,
no,
it was not
no, that was Miami. That was Miami.
Common misconception.
Who did they lose to though as a 6 seed?
USC was an 11. SMU
yeah,
was
I know.
A 6.
Who did they?
USC
they lost
won.
To SMU.
No, they beat SMU.
They beat SMU.
100%. They beat
lost.
SMU. How much? I had SMU in like my Elite Eight, and I remember crossing out all their games.
Let me just take a look.
Yeah.
You can look it up later. Just trust
anyway, getting off topic a little bit here, but Texas, the Horns, 4-0
Shaka,
at number 22.
Baby. How long is it before Shaka loses his job?
Well, it depends what Texas does. I think they're going to fall off big time in Big 12 play. That's just what I think.
I don't know if he can coach good talent. He was good at making something out of nothing, but I don't know if he can make a superstar team out of good players. What do you know? I was right. USC beat SMU about 3 years back in the tournament.
Yeah.
What
they beat him by 1 point, all right?
Win's a win.
Yes. And then there were three teams that were dropped from the rankings, and three teams that we've been begging to get dropped from the rankings for a while here. Florida. We lost to Florida State,
we will get into Florida in a little bit.
Yeah,
but they are
not having.
They're
very overrated.
They're bad. They're bad.
St. Mary's dropped. They were number 18.
Goodness.
Good riddance.
And LSU dropped from number 23. That one I feel less bad about. They lost to VCU.
VCU
but
just kind of.
They outplayed.
Okay, VCU almost choked. They were up like 9 with a minute and a half left, and then LSU got the lead with like 25 seconds and lost.
It's VCU basketball.
So notable games from Friday night. We did our last podcast on Friday, and the Friday night games came up. We said South Dakota State was going to beat Nebraska. Didn't happen. But you know that's something that you can't predict. I mean, Nebraska's looked like garbage. They lost to UC Riverside, and then they lost to blanking.
San Diego State was missing six men.
South Dakota State.
That's
South Dakota State was missing Alu Dillon,
but I don't
because
know if
of personal reasons.
I don't know if that would affect the outcome, but
we like Alu here at Made in March Podcast Industries. So, also Auburn is still in the rankings, holding firm. By the way,
Auburn.
Charlie,
they
you weren't a fan of Auburn, were you?
Points. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, they scored 116 points on Cal State Northridge.
Oh. I wouldn't be surprised.
Xavier just barely snuck out a win over Missouri State. They
Xavier,
won 3 points.
Xavier's my team that I think is the most overrated.
The MVC this year, though,
absolutely
they're scaring teams. Missouri Valley Conference coming out of nowhere.
Xavier lost nobody. They literally lost no one.
And what did they do last year, Alex?
Lost in the first round.
They didn't even make the tournament last year.
They're more experienced.
What are they ranked, 21st?
21st.
I don't believe they should be ranked.
How can you say that when they're undefeated?
There's a billion teams undefeated right now, okay? Stephen F. Austin's undefeated.
Rutgers
and I'm not just saying
undefeated for a short period of time. That doesn't.
DePaul's undefeated, and I think DePaul should be ranked over
DePaul
them.
Is a
Although
team
that one is definitely a hot take, I will admit.
Also, some games on Friday night that were kind of fun to watch. Kansas blowing out Monmouth, but at the end of the game, the Monmouth player
I can tell
steals the ball and And he goes down and he yams it so hard and gets a technical foul.
No, let me just paint you a better picture. Luke gave you the outline. Let me just color it in. Kansas is up 55 with 20 seconds left. A person who is probably a five-star recruit, probably all that with a bag of chips, is dribbling the clock out. And some just scrappy white dude on Monmouth, who definitely did not get a scholarship, sneaks up behind him, steals the ball, races down the court to yam it on him. The Kansas guy, to his defense, actually went after him to try to block him, just yams it on the Kansas guy, and then stared him down and said a lot of words that are probably not going to be said by us on this podcast, and got a technical for it.
Yeah, he was in full rage mode. And that was kind of his exclamation point. Good for him, because Monmouth is going to go like 7-24 this season.
It was awful sportsmanship, but I got to say, that dude can be like 75 and have grandkids and be like, you know what, kids, here's what I did in college, and just show them that play.
And then Gardner Webb also, I told you guys, remember, to take the line with Gardner Webb. They're gonna lose by at least less than 25, which they did. It was a close game for a while, too.
They held it down three at half.
Yeah, they held it tight. And they held it tight in the second half, too.
Against who again?
UNC. And they got bumped up. They lost 77-61.
Watch out for Gardner Webb come conference tournament time.
Man, I mean, that's because they played a tough schedule, though. All I'm saying is,
you can go into your conference tournament with zero wins, and if you win, you're in the tournament.
If they are a 14 seed, might have to pick them. It depends who they play. If they get some bum team like Xavier, that's a 3 seed, watch out.
Thank you.
That's all I'm going to say. And then obviously we discussed Gonzaga.
Zags by 30.
Had to spoil the upset hopes that I had, and they had to spoil them hard too. They won 79-49, so that's not that hurt my feelings a little bit. So, and then getting on to Saturday, Maryland stays consistent, big win. Virginia over Columbia. They held them to 42 points again. So, I mean, Virginia,
you get into Virginia's next game.
All I'm saying is, one thing you will say about Virginia, their defense always plays well, so they always have a chance to win.
Except for Anthony Lamb, who dropped 30 at them. Ooh, spoilers.
Did they win, though?
Yep. We'll get there.
LSU bounced back with a win over Nicholls State.
By 10 points. So I'm glad they got dropped.
You've always had a thing for LSU.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
It.
If you want me to explain, I can explain.
Maryland got completely screwed.
No, that's a waste of time. Do not explain.
They should have won last year. Maryland choked the game against LSU in the tournament last year. Alex would say otherwise, but that is because
I remember watching that game.
All right, let's stay on track, fellas. Stay on track. All
right. All right. Yep. Nicholls State is where Ronald Ollie went. Shout out Ronald Ollie. Last chance U season one. And then again, an upset. Most of us told you about, not Alex, because he's a Washington believer for some reason. Tennessee beat Washington.
U-10, baby.
By 13 points. It was a convincing win. And that's why Tennessee's now ranked. And they're not a bad team.
No Admiral Schofield. Grant Williams. But Jordan Bone. They have all the other guys on the team last year. Yeah. Jordan Bone included. I think they could. What are they ranked now? 20th? I think that's a perfect spot for them.
They've got Yves Pons, or however you pronounce that man's first name. But he's very good player.
Sunday, we had some big buckets too. New Mexico State not looking very impressive, while Arizona's looking extremely impressive.
Arizona looks spooky.
They're going to keep climbing up the charts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Florida was number 15. We said kind of as a joke, we were like, man, if UConn could pull this off, it'd be great. Because when UConn's good.
That was Luke's one hope for the weekend. He said, I just want UConn to beat Florida.
I just want UConn to be good again.
They
had Kemba and then Shabazz and then they kind of just fell off after
they
that.
They beat Florida.
But they beat Florida.
Who was ranked 15th at the time, who is now not ranked. I don't even know how they received votes. They were ranked 6th going into the season, and now they're not ranked. That is a pretty fast fall from graces.
Steep drop off. And I can say, I have some forgiveness for Florida losing to Florida State. That's a rivalry opponent, and they're in the ACC.
In-state
rivalry in the ACC, which one of the toughest conferences. But losing to UConn right now is inexcusable.
Yes.
If you're ranked 6 preseason.
They have Kerry Blackshear, who's a great player.
He carries their team. They don't have a secondary player that I see.
Yes. Their offense is really, really slow.
Yes.
I think they're going to need some fundamental changes to their game if they want to get ranked again.
Yeah, Kerry Blackshear is somebody that likes to run the court up and down.
And they're not letting him do it.
And they aren't letting him do it. Yet he's still leading their team in points and rebounds pretty much every game.
I think Dan Hurley, old Rhode Island coach, I believe, might be taking this UConn team in the right direction. Hopefully they can keep winning this year.
Man, if only he was still coaching Rhode Island with Fats Russell, they would be a force to be reckoned with this year.
UConn is a program that has been historically good before, and they have recognition. So I
they've
mean,
got
he,
what?
He could titles. Turn the program around. I certainly don't doubt it. And that coach coming from Rhode Island, he did some good things there that turned around their program. So I can see him doing it again at UConn. And then maybe he goes to a big program sometime in the future.
UConn will be a big program.
Yeah,
they move into the Big East next year.
Oh, yes.
So UConn will be Power 5 before you know it.
Yeah, that is a good point. Not too many other very important games on Sunday. Monday, it was pretty much all predictable. Like we said earlier, Colorado with a nice win over UC Irvine. Michigan State continues
to dominate.
Who is a good
team? UC Irvine is a solid team. Yes. So it's a statement win for Colorado.
Yep. Kentucky only won by 8 over Utah Valley.
I feel like Kentucky was still domed from the whole Evansville fiasco.
Yeah, and it's in Michigan State hangover still, I think.
Maybe.
Potentially. But then we move on to Tuesday, which was last night, and Virginia only won by 6 over the Catamounts of Vermont.
Anthony Lamb just looks so good.
He's been there for probably 6 years.
New Perry Ellis? He scored Lamb 30 points. Syracuse as a team scored 34 points against Virginia to open the season. And Anthony Lamb scored 30. Let that sink in.
New Perry Ellis, more like new Kevin Pangos. That guy was there for about 8 years.
Kevin Pangos, that dude was the gift that just keeps on giving.
Anthony Lamb, 10 for 21 from the floor and 7 of 14 from 3.
Watch out.
That's very impressive.
Watch out for the Catamounts come tournament
time.
Yes,
they will be scary.
I agree with that.
Other than that, Gonzaga barely escaped one, the UT Arlington, by 6 points in the battle for Atlantis.
That's embarrassing. I won't lie. That's not good for Gonzaga. That's not a good look, but they'll be
but
fine.
But at the same time, man, Texas A&M's got to be feeling embarrassed right now.
Yeah.
Out of their own gym. They
Buzz
just got,
Williams, where you at?
Yeah, it was a sight to see. And then upcoming games tonight, nothing really that important. Battle for Atlantis keeps going on with UNC or Ellen at UNC.
I'd like to shout out a game. It is not in the battle for Atlantis, but unranked Rutgers. Is Rutgers undefeated? They were for a while.
No, they were.
They lost.
They lost to. Trying to have recollect here. They lost to
Merrimack.
No, that was Northwestern. Providence lost or Providence whooped Merrimack. Northwestern got whooped by Merrimack, but yet Northwestern beat Providence. But that's a whole other story. This is why transitive property does not work, folks.
Well, in your opinion. Anyways, SF Austin does go up against Rutgers tonight. That's a game to watch. I believe SF Austin wins this one.
I just don't think so. I think that Rutgers is stronger than them. I think that they will own the paint tonight against SFA, and they will win it by probably 16 points.
Another matchup tonight. University of Arkansas Little Rock goes on the road to take on Memphis. Man, Arkansas Little Rock has one of the best comebacks, maybe even the best comeback in NCAA March Madness history.
Josh Haggins,
just
that guy,
like to shout out that team,
feeling himself in the 2016 tournament.
Very true.
And then another game, we get some good ones tomorrow, Thursday, November 21st.
Texas Georgetown.
Yes, sir. I think Georgetown pulls this off in the 2K Empire Classic, number 22 Texas versus Georgetown. I think Patrick Ewing and his boys go and get it done.
I'm not a huge Texas believer, but I believe they win that game.
Well, I think Shaka Smart gets out coached by Patrick Ewing this game.
Come on now.
Alex is just a Georgetown hater.
Those are just two coaches who I do not believe are very good.
Well, who's less bad?
Shaka's better.
Shaka's way better.
Get out of here.
Shaka has a Final Four run. Just remember it.
All I'm saying, too, watch out for this team. Come Big Ten play, too. Michigan, undefeated. New coach Juwan Howard, who's a good coach.
Michigan's getting no love right now.
No love.
We kind of are the ones that have to give them love because they're not getting any, but they're looking all right.
Go blue this year. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many other games. I mean, number one Duke in the
2K. Wait, did Michigan get any votes in the AP poll?
I'd like to say so. They had 11.
Okay.
So they had
at least they had
so,
some
okay,
votes.
Comparatively,
they had the same amount as Marquette.
Yeah, they had the same amount as Marquette and Purdue. And Vermont. Michigan's ahead of those three teams.
Now,
before
Vermont lost to Virginia, but I almost believe since they barely lost, Vermont actually would have gotten more votes, but Some voters don't look that deep.
A loss is still a loss.
In your opinion?
Yes.
Moving ahead to Friday, if that's all right with you, Luke. Houston taking on Oregon. That's going to be a good matchup. Houston still got... What's the one dude's name? Shit.
Oh.
I, like...
What is his name?
It's kind of a weird name. Wesley would know it in a second.
Wesley's going to hear this and be like, how in the hell do you not remember his name?
Are we talking about Quentin Grimes?
No.
No.
But that is a transfer from Kansas.
He's a big player, so...
I think that game's going to be closer than people think. And I'm an Oregon truther.
Yeah, I think...
Houston did just lose to BYU, though.
Houston's got good guard play, though. And I think that that can combat Pritchard a little bit. I'm not saying that Pritchard can't overcome it, but I think it'll give him a challenge.
Pritchard's too calm and collected.
Dejan Giroux.
That's the name I was looking for. What a name. I'm naming my kid Dejan.
Oh, LSU. That Friday night, LSU and Utah State battle it out at the Jamaica Classic.
Ooh. Oh, will that be a good game?
Picks? I've got picks. LSU.
Utah State by 15.
LSU, baby.
USU by 15.
LSU by 7.
Listen, we're going to have to send out some sort of poll on that game. Yeah. Stay tuned to our Instagram.
Get ready. This week we're doing podcast underscores between every word. We're doing locks and super dogs. We'll keep you updated on the standings. And we might have some prizes that you guys might look forward to. So
indeed.
Stay tuned.
Including a possible guest appearance on this show.
Yes, sir.
Remains tentative.
Possibly.
But quite possibly.
All right. Other than that, looking forward to the weekend. We do have... Florida Gulf Coast playing at VCU this weekend. 0-4 Florida Gulf Coast. Man, I wish they were good.
They got the name recognition, though.
They do have the name recognition.
That's what a good tournament will do to you.
And then Ole Miss, I think they beat Memphis this weekend. Ole Miss is 4-0, heading on the road to number 16 Memphis. No James Wiseman. I think Ole Miss takes that one.
If Ole Miss versus Oklahoma in the 8-9 seed game in last year's tournament taught us anything, it is to not believe in Ole Miss.
That's fair, but I still think Ole Miss wins this game. I think that without James Wiseman, I don't think Memphis is bad, but I think Ole Miss is just a better team. And that pretty much wraps it up for games to look forward to. I mean, I'm pretty much done with this, but the Toreros have one more test on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
At 25 Washington, who's a worse team than Colorado.
The Toreros will be 1-4.
No, they're 2-3 right now.
They'll be 2-4.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, but I'm pretty much ready to give up on that team. I'm going to give them one more chance this weekend.
One more chance.
And then they're gone if they lose. So, but other than that, we
get to look forward to the Maui Jim Maui Invitational starting on November 25th. Some big teams in it are Michigan State, Kansas, Chaminade. They're always in it. Not a big team, but just throwing them out there. Show some love.
Listen, more importantly than any of those teams is who will be announcing those games, and that's the one and only Bill Walton. He always starts his announcing at the Maui Invitational, so that's what I'm most looking forward to. But that is a little bit in advance.
And that is actually next Monday through Wednesday. So it is approaching us right now. Man, and you guys have to flip it on. It's going to be on some form of ESPN channel.
ESPN2. The first games.
Yeah, and ESPNU will probably air one or two if ESPN2 doesn't have them. So, man, once you guys watch Bill Walton commentate, you'll be like, man, he's garbage, because you'll be taking him too seriously. Or you'll be like, this guy is hilarious. This is why we love Maiden Marsh podcast. We have a uniqueness to us.
Let's be real.
And love for Bill Walton.
If anyone is listening 33 and a half minutes into this podcast to all the nonsense we are rambling, they will love Bill Walton.
They will
love Bill Walton. That is a certified fact.
Yeah. The amount of allusions he has to just at random geographical locations or ideas that just make no sense.
Absolutely insane.
Have me interested in the entire game. Like, the game could be Stanford versus Oregon State, and I'll be up watching just because Bill Walton's announcing. It's something to watch.
Potential second-round matchup I'd like to point out, Kansas
in the
versus
Maui,
BYU.
In the Maui,
yes, in the Maui tournament. BYU, they've got shooters everywhere.
Kansas,
if BYU has got an on-night shooting...
BYU, man, you look at their starting lineup and you will notice one common denominator. I will let you figure that out.
They're all Mormon. They're all probably Mormon.
They're all white. I think that's what Charlie was going for.
Well, BYU is the Mormon school, so just so you know.
But I think if Mormons.
You think BYU's beating Kansas?
If they're shooting the ball well, not saying they're going to beat them, but if they're shooting the ball well, they could give this young Kansas team a very good run for their money.
The Mormon Mashers. That's what we're going to call BYU from now on.
Predictions on who wins the tournament. I like Michigan State.
Michigan State.
I don't think Michigan know State all the teams would be Kansas.
I think Tillman can.
You want me to read them?
Yeah, read the teams.
Okay, I'll read the teams. On the top side of the bracket, Georgia versus Dayton, Virginia Tech versus Michigan State, Kansas versus Chaminade, and then BYU versus UCLA.
Rock chalk.
Wow.
Never. Never. You think that they're going to beat Michigan State?
A potential Bill Self versus Tom Izzo matchup.
Izzo's a better coach.
Izzo's a better, way better coach. I agree.
Cassius is the best guard in the tournament. Not even close.
I'd argue.
I'm feeling that I'm being personally attacked right now for my pick of Kansas.
Devin Dotson is a great guard.
He's a good guard, but I still think Cassius Winston is far better. And that's not an attack on Dotson. He can make a lot of things happen, and I think he'll be big in the Big 12, a lot bigger than people will realize this year, but Cassius Winston is just something else, man. Ice in the veins.
I love Cassius, I won't lie.
In the words of Gus Johnson, Cash Winston.
Cash Winston. Any other games to go over? Anything else to add?
Alex, who's Marquette got coming up?
Some poopy, stinky team. Not really sure. I think our next game's on Saturday. If we don't win that one, I'll hear a lot of Marquette slander.
Oh, you've already heard quite a bit.
It won't be slander if they lose, though, because it would be truth.
That's
actually somewhat factual.
It might be like Oral Roberts.
I will beat Oral Roberts. So if Marquette can't beat Oral Roberts,
Luke on one knee would beat Oral Roberts.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Anyways, if we don't have anything else to add, that just about does it. And until next time, this is Made in March.